Good morning. I'm Wayne Lamb with Sedalia Steel Supply, and I'm excited to sponsor the next 10 minutes for local pastors to share with you the Word of God. I pray that God will richly bless you.
The Spirit clearly says that in the latter days, some will abandon their faith in God and follow other ways. But I have set my course, and I will make it through. I choose to walk this narrow way, the road that leads to you. I'll go the distance. I'll go the distance. Will not compromise, pressing on to win the prize in Christ Jesus. I'll go the distance.
Well, good morning. This is the Reverend Dr. Chad McMullen again from First Christian Church in Sedalia. So glad to be with you on Go the Distance this morning. I hope that you'll check out our website at firstforgod.com, or better yet, come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 or 11 o'clock. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit more about marriage and a little bit more about how to stay married, how to stay in a healthy place, how to stay at peace with one another. And I'm reminded about a health in marriage when I think about a couple that came in, and the young man, they wanted to get married, and they wanted to have premarital counseling with me. And the young man had this tattoo on his arm that said peacemaker, and the picture underneath the word was a rifle. And so in our culture, a lot of times people think guns bring peace, and I kind of use that against him to say that, you know, Jesus doesn't suggest peace that way, but that this tattoo is going to come in handy in your marriage. Because, you know, anytime you're with somebody or around somebody, and when you're in love with somebody, there's always going to be this need for us to reconcile, for us to make peace. And so that's going to be your job, and that's going to be the job of the tattoo that you got. It's going to remind you that Jesus calls you to be a peacemaker, not with a gun, but with a different weapon. The weapon is called forgiveness, and it's called taking responsibility for your part in the way things are going. If you were going to apologize to somebody, let me ask you, how would you apologize? Would you just come right out and say, I'm sorry, I did this, will you please forgive me? Or do you go to great lengths to try to explain yourself, to try to justify your actions? Sometimes you might even go so far as to blame someone else for your part in an argument or in a situation. In the Bible, we see classic examples of people waiting 20 years to be reconciled to one another because nobody would step up and be a peacemaker. First of all, you have to want to be reconciled to the person. And once you've decided that you want to be reconciled, then you can become a peacemaker. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? In other words, how do you keep saying to your brother or to your wife or to your husband, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the while there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus says. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Take responsibility for your own actions, and then move toward peace with one another. If I want to fix things with someone, I must first deal with my part in the disagreement. Even if I feel more right, even if I feel like she was more wrong, chances are there's something that I did. Chances are there's something that I contributed, and I need to take and confess and claim that part if I want to be a peacemaker. One of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, part of the Bible about resolving conflict, is Jacob and his brother Esau. I know you remember the story where Jacob's mom dresses him up in Esau's clothing, and they trick dad and they steal the blessing and the birthright and all of the stuff that goes with it. 20 years go by between these brothers. They both have families and kids, and they're living far apart. There's no record of letters. There's no record of phone calls. There's no visits. There's no relationship. Basically, Jacob took the money and ran, never looking back. He wasn't a good son. He wasn't a good brother. 20 years go by, and God breaks into Jacob's life again, and he says, it's time for you to go home. It's time for you to go back to your family, back to that part of the world. So Jacob gathers up his wives and his children and his cattle and his sheep and his donkey, and he heads toward home. Now let me ask you how you would feel after 20 years. How would it feel to be going back to the brother you cheated 20 years ago and neglected to ever reach out to him? I think I'd be a bit embarrassed myself. I think I'd be quite ashamed of myself. I think I'd be worried that my family wouldn't want anything to do with me. I'd be kind of worried that they'd run me off when I got there. And sure enough, Jacob was having all of those emotions. But let me ask you, how do you think it went? Jacob decided in his heart that he would come up with a scheme, with a plan. I mean, that's what he did. This guy from the beginning has been a schemer, a liar. He's been a guy who tries to avoid conflict in as many ways as he can. And he decides that maybe he can bribe his brother. He said, if I'll pacify him with these gifts that I'm sending ahead of me, then when I see him, maybe he will actually receive me. Now, I've known people like that all my life, people who refuse to own up to their part, who refuse to own up to the bad things that they've done, and they try to buy themselves out. They try to buy their way back in. It's so shallow. It's so predictable. It's weak. No amount of money can make your wrong right. Nevertheless, Jacob sends his gifts out in front of him, and he stays blind to his own sin, to his own betrayal. He doesn't take ownership of it. Instead, he thinks gifts are going to pacify him. He stays behind, hoping his gifts will create a barrier. But God has different plans. God has plans to bring these brothers back together. They just don't realize that it's happening. In the night before the big confrontation would happen, Jacob ends up in a wrestling match with God. He didn't realize he was wrestling with God at first, and the Bible never actually says that it was God, but it does at some point become clear that Jacob knows he's wrestling with God. I'm not sure of the details of the wrestling match. They don't spell them out there, and I don't think they're important, but what I do think is important is that when the match is over, Jacob became a new man. See, what happens when we wrestle with God is that God wins. And not only does God win, but we win in the process. It's a win-win wrestling match. God shows us something in our wrestling matches. He realigns us, and he reminds us, and he teaches us, and he instructs us, even against our own instincts. And so as the sun came up, Jacob saw his brother approaching with 400 men. This time, Jacob decided not to run away, but to face his brother. And as his brother approached, Jacob bowed down 7 times to him, all ready to confess and ask for forgiveness. And his brother's response was that he began running toward Jacob. He grabbed him and he hugged him. Esau and Jacob never clashed again. There was never any more animosity. They're both present with their father when his father draws his last breath, and they're both present to bury their dad together. Jacob learned a lot in that wrestling match with God. He learned that wrestling with God leads to better stuff. And he learns that God never gives up on him. He learned that God never gave up on him, and that God breaks into our lives to help us. Maybe next time you find yourself at a place where your past is about to clash with your future, you'll remember this story too, and you'll remember that God has a path, and his path is toward peace and reconciliation. And instead of plotting and scheming and blaming other people and taking things into your own hands, maybe you'll do what it says in Matthew 7, and you'll take ownership of what you've done. You bow yourself in front of that person that you have wronged. You'll take responsibility for your action, and you'll become the peacemaker that God has called you to be. See, most importantly in a relationship and in a conflict is the desire to be reconciled. You have to care enough about that other person to put them ahead of yourself. Chances are you've had a part in this conflict, and chances are that you're listening to this program this morning and you've got an opportunity ahead of you. If you'll take ownership of your part and you'll admit and confess and ask for forgiveness for that part, it has a supernatural power in it, folks. It melts the heart because our brother or our wife or our family member or our parent or our coworker, they want to be reconciled just as bad as you do. I hope you're encouraged today to learn how to fight life's battles with God's tactics, with God's weapons. Put a new spin on the word peacemaker and become one yourself. This is the Reverend Dr. Chad McMullen with First Christian Church in Sedalia. So glad to have been with you this morning. I hope God has blessed you, and I hope that you will be reconciled to those that you love. In the name of Jesus, have a blessed day.
The Word of God has been brought to you by Sedalia Steel Supply, 1900 Ristler Road. Have a good day in the Lord.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to His name. Oh, to declare His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. The Lord hears my prayers and answers them, and I will call upon Him as long as I live. This is Gail Lamb with Go the Distance. Have a blessed day.